Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Life Conversations works with people to increase their organizational and individual potential by assisting them in identifying habits, attitudes, beliefs, and expectations that hinder their performance professionally and socially. Life Conversations is committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Life Conversations. Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
This is Sister Nikki Harris. And this is our choir.
Someone's in need of a prayer today. Have you done your part? Someone's in despair this day. Have you prayed from your heart? So many are trying to find their way, and they need. Seeking Just listen to the Spirit. It's telling you.
Telling you.
To heed the Holy Call.
Praying with them, standing with them, listening.
Yes.
Letting life happen through and as you, simply because you love.
We can keep on praying on it, till we see love everywhere, till we see joy everywhere. We will just pray. Will you do it with me?
Pray on it.
Tell me what you're going to do when it gets a little tough, when it gets a little rough. What are you gonna do with me? Tell me now, pray. I'm gonna pray.
Pray on it.
Yes, we've only got one thing to do. We can change through the world if we want to. Come on and pray. My prayer, love, it will lift you high. Woo! the news says it affects them for real. Yes, it will. I know it will. Hallelujah.
Nikki Harris.
That's exactly what prayer is. That's what true love is. When you love enthusiastically, when you love passionately, when you come together and share your passion for life, compassion, it will set you free and set your loved one free. It will set all of us free because that's what love is. It sets us free. Love is freedom. Your prayer, is it lifting somebody up or is it putting somebody down? Is it lifting you up? Are you pleading, begging to some being out there that just said, I'm going to be mean today. Let me push the mean button. Well, I'm just going to be loving. You know, love knows nothing but to love. The only thing love can do is to love. And you know that? You know that. And because love only knows to love, love is already here. But we become the channel, the vessel through which others get to feel and experience it sometimes because of their experience. Yes, Agape Choir reminding us somebody needs a prayer. Is it you? Do you know someone who needs a prayer? Have you prayed for somebody else today? Have you just said, you know, I'm not going to worry about how I'm going to pay my car note, my note, my insurance, whatever the case may be. I've got to pray for somebody else who's going through what I'm going through. I'm going to declare the truth. I know that all that I need is right here. I might not see it. I may not be seeing it right now, but I know it's here. I just need to pray and lift my consciousness up so I can see clearly and hold other people in the light. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. Pray for somebody. You will make a difference. As a matter of fact, you make a difference simply by being here, simply because you exist. Now, you can consciously participate in your existence or just watch your life. Just float by. If you're enjoying it, so be it. If you're blaming and complaining, choose again because you have the power to choose again. Agape Choir, somebody needs a prayer today, and somebody needs to check out their website. So some people are doing some great work. AgapeLive.com, AgapeLive.com. The soloist was Nikki Harris. That sister can blow. That song is a prayer itself. Welcome all of you and listening on the online and on the phone line. Those of you listening to the archive, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Thank you for keep spreading the word, letting people know what's going on here at Life Conversations Radio. We have a lot going on, and we are committed. We are dedicated to assisting you to move through your spiritual growth and transformation and reminding you that your life is really about your soul. And your soul is trying to do, your soul is on a mission, but you may have forgotten, or maybe people tell you, don't listen to that. I don't make any sense. We're here to support that journey, the invisible journey, that sometimes you can't even put in words. And it's so, so grateful. I am so grateful to be in this space, to be in this place, to create an opportunity for healing for those who are loving and those who feel like they need to be loved. Let's not get caught up in need, want, lack. It doesn't matter because love doesn't take notes of what a word means. That's just the intellectual thing. But when you come from a place of love, say, how can I give today? How can I give? And when you recognize, when you connect with how you can give, you have something to be thankful for. You can truly celebrate Thanksgiving because you're grateful for what you can give. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. Today we are supporting you, assisting you to support others, maybe yourself. You know, Tom Zuber is back. Somebody that I just feel like, you know, just met recently, and there's something about his energy, his work, and you're going to get to meet him again if you met him the first time or if you didn't. And even if you met him the first time, you're going to get to meet him again. He's not the same person he was when he came the last time. So we're going to talk about tips and how you can help people make the holiday season more bearable. Maybe they've lost loved ones. Maybe this is the first time without their wife, their husband, their children, their aunt, their uncle, their pet. You know, who knows? Maybe this is the second year. Maybe it's the third year, but they might be feeling alone or even dreading it, petrified. You can be the change they are looking for because you recognize that we need each other. Tom is coming up in a few minutes. Just want to give you some quick announcements. And what are the announcements? Okay, last Wednesday of the month, what are we doing? Yeah, 12 p.m. Eastern, Michelle Brown Stafford, my co-host for Conscious Parenting. Make sure you mark your calendar, 12 p.m. Eastern every last Wednesday of the month, as well as Ancestral Blueprints, same day, last Wednesday of the month. Ancestral Blueprints, my co-host is Lisa Iverson. What's the blueprint of your soul? Why are you really here? You know, get a better understanding of what's really going on behind the scenes, because that's the most important thing. What you hear, what you see, what you can smell, what you can taste, that's just interpretation of vibration. But what's going on in the warehouse that nobody have access to but yourself? That's the most important thing in life, when you get in touch, when you can just pierce through the veil and say, ooh, that's why I'm here. Ooh, ooh, that kind of felt, ooh, I didn't like that experience, but I understand why. Then you have a new awareness, Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson. Make sure you check out our website. We have a lot of guests coming up, so much. Check out all the pages, but make sure click the upcoming guest as well. And Monday, we have Linda Howell joining us. She's going to be talking about the Akashic Records. What's that about? What does that mean? Some people say, well, you have to be chosen to be able to look at the Akashic Records. Linda said, I'm going to teach you how to read your Akashic Records. Oh, I don't know, but she's going to join us on Monday, 12 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you're here. And if for whatever reason, last minute, you had to change your appointment because you just couldn't, you know, you just had to leave, the show is archived and can be downloaded. You can download it. And what else? I think that's it. Betty, anything else I need to say other than Betty, thank you for all the work that you do, staying up late and all that good stuff and just constantly making up the website. I mean, I go to bed and the next morning, there's 3, 4, 5 guests on there. I'm like, wow, jeez, all these people. Woo, I don't know if I can handle them. Well, actually, after interviewing all these folks, next year, I'm going to be a completely different person. Because you know what? Let me tell you a secret. I'm going to leave. Betty's only bringing these people here for me, just for me, for my own soul satisfaction. Now, if you guys benefit from it, so be it. I give thanks. Yes, it's that time to bring on Tom, and let's go through this. Let's see. Let's pull this up. Thank you for my browsers working with me, everything working patiently and perfectly and in divine time. So I release. I let go, and I share Tom's bio, just a little bit about him. He'll tell us some more as we go on in the conversation. Tom Zuber is the owner of TomZuber.com. That's where you can find him 24 hours a day. If you really want to connect with him, Tom Zuber, ZUBA.com. Transformation Through Loss. He is a grief guide, author, inspirational speaker, and grief guide group facilitator. Oh, and a group facilitator at Woman's Space. Yeah, if you're going to deal with this kind of stuff that Tom is dealing with, you're going to do it in a space where the feminine energy is there. Because the masculine energy, like, wow, why are you even doing this? I don't need to be quiet about nothing. But if you're in a woman's space, there's that natural energy of feminine that breaks. Okay, now, let me back myself up. There's nothing wrong with the masculine energy. But the masculine energy doesn't, you know, just does what it does. Once you allow yourself to be in a woman's space and you allow the healing to happen, and then the masculine energy says, okay, now that we're ready, it's a go, but I'm taking my cues from my creative self, from my feminine energy. What do we do next? What do we do next? This is what I think. That's a nice way to blend that together. And then you dig yourself out of a hole there, didn't you? Ooh, let me hurry up and bring Tom up before I say something else. Anyway, Tom believes that loss cracks us open, giving us the opportunity to consciously participate and the transformation that awaits us. So too, death, transformation, they just have a way of opening up. They say love is within, compassion is within, God is within. So you need something to open you up. Isn't that correct, Tom? What do you think?
Absolutely, absolutely. The death of someone we love doesn't happen to us. It happens for us.
Yes, yes. And as we say that, there are people right now who may be listening feeling like, I don't know what they're talking about. This is the worst thing I've ever been through. This is nobody should ever have to go through this. God is punishing me or whatever the case may be. And we honor wherever you are. But really, life, everything that happens, it's just something that's happening for us so we can tap into our greater yet to be.
And not only do I honor that place, I have been in that place not once, not twice, not three times, where if someone would have come up to me and said, the death of your daughter, the death of your wife, the death of your son happened for you, there's a really good chance that person wouldn't be alive right now.
But how about this punch to the face happening for you?
Exactly.
And you right now.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Life is so delicate, isn't it? You know, life is so delicate. I'm just present to that. And sometimes we're in this space where we feel like we're in control, and there are times where we're out of control. We feel like we're out of control. And death is one thing to just blow up everything that looks like control. And, you know, go ahead, because I was coming to you anyway. Go ahead.
Well, and I would suggest that the day that it dawned on me that that's exactly what death is supposed to do to us. It's supposed to blow us up in a million pieces. When I surrendered to that truth, everything changed. Everything changed.
Hmm.
It's supposed to do that.
Yes. Yes. I find that when I go to memorial services, I find that I start to have a deeper appreciation for life, my life. And it causes me to, I don't want to say step up, but really ask myself some really powerful questions, deep questions like, am I happy with where I'm at? And am I waiting to get something done? Do I have people that I love? Do they know how much I love them? You know, I get to ask myself. So for me, I find that death has a way for helping me appreciate life so much more. Now, I won't put my same name down on the list and, okay, I want family members to start stepping out, going into the other realm. But when it does happen, that's one thing we can't avoid. That's something we're all going to experience when it does happen. If we have the information that is supposed to blow us up. Now, it may not make it easier when we're going through it, but it could make it bearable. Like, okay, I remember that conversation I had that is blowing me up. Okay, I don't feel so crazy. You know, it's not weird to want to die as well. It's not weird to feel like I don't want to live. It's not weird to be in denial, to be angry. And I, the work that you do, Tom, that's why I honor what you do. You create that space where people are, you're letting them know it's a sacred space. Don't judge it. If you can't help it, don't criticize it. And even if you judge it, still know it's a sacred place, you know?
Exactly. I absolutely judged it. I absolutely got angry with it. You know, I screamed and yelled and literally was on the floor having a temper tantrum. I did all of those things, and all of that is normal and is undoubtedly healthy. It was for me because it brought me to the place where I was tired. I was just tired of being in pain day after day after day, moment after moment after moment. And I thought there has got to be another way to do that. And what I realized is that if I could bring gratitude and compassion, if there was some way, if I could bring gratitude for the simplest things into my day, and if I could bring compassion for myself, if I could be kind and gentle and loving to myself, then maybe I could cause a shift. So did I immediately never get angry again? Absolutely not. I still get angry. But when I do get angry, I can look at myself with compassion. So there's a huge difference from being a really, really angry person as opposed to being a really, really angry person for a moment who's filled with compassion for himself or for herself. Those were huge, huge, huge shifts for me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and the other thing that I also say, it's one thing to be angry and then be angry at yourself because you're angry. It's another thing to be angry and be compassionate with yourself, you know, and that can be done.
Yes. I love the little phrase, have mercy on yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to have mercy on myself. Have mercy on myself. So I really, really try to practice that. And the only way I'm going to be able to have mercy on the rest of humanity is if I can at first have mercy on myself.
Exactly. Ah, you're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade. Today we are talking about supporting loved ones, maybe even yourself, through this holiday season, and we got some tips we want to share with you. And let's go into that. I'm sort of catching the energy of this conversation. It's like I feel like I don't know if you've been to gatherings where an individual channels a non-physical being, and usually, you know, when you come in, when I've been to one, you come in and the person's sitting down talking to us and just talking about what to expect, whatever, and then they say, okay, now I'm going to allow, you know, Abraham to come through, Archangel Michael to come through, and suddenly it's like the person's not there, even though you can still see them. So for me, this conversation feels like I'm being embodied by a different energy, and it's like, oh, okay, I didn't know this was going to happen, you know, and I think we notice the energies that are around us when we are present, when we come together, when we set the intention, when we pray for one another, when we are compassionate. And in that space, we can allow healing, because that's healing is to make whole and come in together. So, you know, as you and I come together and the listeners that are listening live, those who are listening archive, my intention is we're coming together to just hold the light of truth, even if we don't know anybody personally that has lost a loved one. Maybe it's not even us, you know, that. But collectively, what we're doing in this moment on 11-10-11, where the energy and the full moon, all of that is happening, and people getting excited or getting worried, whatever it is, that collectively we're representing the healing that is seeking to be birthed right now. That's my intention for the show.
Well, and that's absolutely beautiful. One of the things that I share with folks is that the only place that healing can occur is in the present moment. The present moment is the point of power. And so many of us spend so much of our day, so much of our life, either in the past or in the future. So that intention of yours and that your description that the energy is bringing us into this present moment, this is where healing occurs, the only place. And I also want to let the listeners know that, yes, we're going to be talking about learning how to live with the death of a loved one today and supporting family and friends who are learning how to do that. But loss is loss. And if your loss today, you know, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, is the loss of your job or the loss of your health or the loss of a relationship, you know, be open enough to apply what we're saying to your situation or the situation of a friend or a family member that you're going to spend time with over the holidays, because everything that we say today, even though the focus may be on loss through death, it will be applicable to everything.
Right.
And death is not just about the transformation from the body into the spiritual realm. Death is happening every day in every moment. You know, sometimes you wake up and you don't even know who the flip you are. That's a death. Every day we die and we're reborn into a new space. So let's talk about this text that we want to share here. We've got 10 things you can do to help make this holiday season more bearable for someone you know who is learning, that's key words, learning to live with the death of someone they love. So number one is mention the dead person by name. Your friend is already sad. Nothing you can do will make them sadder unless they think you have completely forgotten the person they love who has died. Tell us more about that.
The reality is there are probably millions of people in this country right now who are dreading. They are dreading that they are losing sleep over the fact that 2 weeks from today, they will be gathering with family and friends, and the one thing that is uppermost on their mind, and that is the fact that a person that they love died within the last 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, it doesn't matter, there's no time limit, but the number one thing on their mind is that someone they love died, and they will be with family and friends, and no one will mention that dead person by name. It's incomprehensible to me that that happens over and over and over and over again. But trust me, I have talked with enough people to know that that's the norm. That's the norm, and I've experienced it myself. And when I push people on it, what most people say, and I call it innocently ignorant, because it is. It's very innocent, and it's ignorant. And I'm not using that word in a derogatory way, but
right.
People think, If I mention Tom's son, Rory, by name, it will make Tom sad.
Right.
And I don't want to make him sad. And particularly when the loss is new, what anyone would say is, I'm already sad. You know, there's nothing you could do to make me more sad, except if I think you've forgotten that my son ever existed. And when you don't mention him by name, that's how I interpret it. It's a paradox, really.
Yes, it is. And as you were talking, there's a class I took a while back on pastoral care, and the book we used was "How Can I Help?" and by Ram Dass and another, I can't remember the other author's name. I think it's Philip something. But in there, it talks about it is in our nature to help. It is just who we are. But sometimes we don't want to help, or we don't want to help because we're afraid of what's going to come up for us. So, you know, I might not want to, for some people, they don't want to make Tom sad, because if Tom is sad, then it's going to trigger their own sadness. And then now we're all sad, and I don't want to go there. And for some people, it's just, you know, I like the phrase you use. What did you call it? The innocently ignorant. What's the phrase you use?
You got it. Ignorant innocence or innocent ignorance. Mm. You can interchange the two words. I believe that. You know, I heard what you said, Ade, but I think you're giving people almost more credit, because I think most people live their life asleep, and they're not that deep. I agree that on a subconscious level, they may be thinking, if we really, really probed it with them. But I think that they'd say, I just don't want to make Tom sad. You know, if we pushed him a little bit and said, well, why not? Why don't you want to make Tom sad? Well, because I'm uncomfortable with people that are sad. Why are you uncomfortable with people that are sad? Mm-hmm. Oh, because that brings up my own sadness. Oh, bingo. And I, you know, and I would prefer not to feel any sad feelings because I don't know what the heck to do with them.
Right.
But that's deep.
You have a little cracking me up because I never know what my guests are going to say, but something about you say things in the most simplest way, it just leaves me giggling. You're like, come on, people are not that deep, okay? just, I understand. You can give them credit, and it's true. I get it because there's so much going on that we don't even get to process our own feelings and emotions, so we don't even know what we're feeling sometimes, you know, the whole anger we're talking about. You know?
Absolutely not, especially as the holidays approach. You know, we're in preservation mode. We just want to survive, most of us.
Wow. 347-426-3346. My guest is Tom Zuber, and he's a transformational, inspirational speaker, a grief guide, and supporting people to just see the gift and the blessings and the treasures of losing loved ones. Not always easy, but he does it. 347-426-3346 to share your story, to ask a question, call now. Let's go, Tom, let's go to number two. You want to read that?
Okay, yeah, well, let me just, I'm going to jump in here because language is so important to me, and I know it's important to you. You know, language creates, and...
Yes.
I try to be so meticulous about the words that come out of my mouth. And one of the things you said, you just said it, and you said it very innocently. You said, you know, losing a loved one. I never say losing a loved one, or I sure try not to lose a loved one, because none of the people that I love that have died are lost, and they're not lost to me. The connection now is actually stronger than it's ever been. So I come right out and say, what we're trying to do is learn how to live with the death of someone that I love. And you know what? I'm not even sure that death is the right word, but it's where I am right now.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. I'm with you. I am so with you. I get it. It makes sense. So want to move to number two?
Sure, absolutely.
You got it in front of you?
I do. But
okay, go for it.
Yeah, I will. This is born of my own experience, and it just touches my heart so deeply. It's interesting because when my wife died, now for those that don't recall or didn't even know, my daughter, my little daughter died in 1990. She was just 18 months. My daughter Erin. And then in 1999, you know, 9 years later, my wife Trish died. And I remember being at Trish's memorial service and at her funeral. And I was very, very in my body, very conscious, very in the moment. And I went up to people and I begged them. I said, don't abandon me. You know, please don't abandon me. I'm going to be alone. I've done this before. I know how it goes. In about 7 to 10 days, I'm going to be all alone. No one's going to call me. No one's going to ask me out. It's going to be me and my two little boys. Do not abandon me. Well, guess what? 99.99999% of the people that I begged abandoned me anyway. So number two is extend an invitation and extend another one and extend another one and keep reaching out to the person or the people that you know who are learning how to live with the death of a loved one this holiday season. Keep reaching out to them. Even if they never return your phone calls, even if they say, no, I'm not going to come over. No, I don't feel like having a cup of coffee. No, I don't want to go see a movie. No. Do not abandon them, because one day, and it could be in 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years or in 2 decades, But one day, their eye is going to open a little bit wider, and their ear is going to hear a little bit louder, and they're going to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to have a cup of coffee. I want to go on a walk. And for most of us, when we're ready, you know, we look around and say, okay, now who is still with me? And, right, and nobody right. is. Nobody is. Nobody is.
It's interesting. So, interesting. I wanted to say, listeners, we have a copy of this list on Live Conversations Radio fan page, of course, on Facebook. So if you go to Live Conversations Radio fan page, it's up there. You can see it. You can copy it. You can add your comments and everything that you need. So FYI for the listeners. So, Tom, are you going to say something? You're going to go to number three?
Just kind of following up on what you just said, I have a really, really interactive Facebook page. And if listeners do take a look at this list of 10 things, which is also posted on my Facebook page, I would love to hear from them. You know, what are your thoughts about these 10 things? Do you agree with them? Do you disagree with them? Is there an 11th thing you think I should add? And what I would really love is, you know, come that week after Thanksgiving or any time during the holiday season, did you implement one of them? Did you try it out? And if so, you know, what were the results? So I'd love to, you know, continue the dialogue about these.
Yes, it's all about the conversation. And you're listening to Ask Life Coach at AonLifeConversationsRadio.com, number 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Number three, realize that your friend may not really know what they want to do for the holidays, or it may change hour to hour. Be flexible and patient. Be flexible and patient. Accompany your friend as best you can. Let them take the lead. Don't force them to do anything. Don't make them feel angry. That's tricky, though, isn't it? Well, how do you know when you're forcing? How do you know when you're making them feel guilty? Because unless they tell you, and if they don't, how can we really know?
It's a phenomenal question, and it happens all the time. Come on, Tom. You know you want to come to Thanksgiving dinner with us. You know you do. Mm. You'll feel better. You know, your dad's son, he would want you to be at Thanksgiving dinner. He wants you to be happy. We're your family. You need to be with us. But I don't want to go. You know, I want to stay in bed. I want to sit in my chair. Oh, you can't do that. You know, you'll disappoint Grandma. That scenario plays itself out over and over and over again. And I'm being forced to do what you think I should do. And you're trying really, really hard to make me feel guilty. But the beginning of that number three is that the truth of the matter is when you are immersed in grief, when you're immersed in it, there are explosions occurring inside of you at such a rapid rate. You don't know what you're feeling. You don't know what you're feeling because the landscape is changing so quickly. So at one minute I might say, you know, I think I'm up for dinner. And then 30 minutes later, there's no way I can do it. I just can't do it. And so the gift that we can give another person, and I love this word, it's to accompany them, you know, to trust. And I firmly, firmly believe it, that every single person in every single moment knows exactly what they need to heal. Mm. I don't know what you need to heal, but you do. And what I can do is I can create a space for you. I can accompany you. So when it becomes clear for you in this moment what you need to do to heal, I'm going to support you. And if 3 minutes later, it becomes clear to you that you need to do the exact opposite to heal, I'm going to support you in that too, because you know what's best for you. I don't. That's a tough one, though. That's a really, really tough one, especially around the holidays, because there's so many expectations.
You know, as I listened to you, I was thinking it's really a dance. You talk about accompaniment. You know, it's a dance. Like, really, there's no right. Well, there's the wrong way to do it. But let me put it this way: we have to co-creatively create what works. So if I'm supporting somebody who's learning to live with the death of a loved one, I can't. It's more important for me to be present to hear what they're saying. And I'm saying me, not that, you know, I'm just using myself as an example. It's more important for me to be present and listen to the words so that I can know the next thing to say, how to be, rather than having, okay, you know, we gotta get Tom out of the house. You know, the example you use, Tom. You know your wife will want you to have fun. Rather than have those conversations, you just be there and say, Tom, we're having a gathering together, dinner, we want to invite you. And you say, nope, I want to stay at home. It's a really tricky thing, because let's do this, Tom. Let's play this scenario out. I don't know. It's just called for to do. So you're going through, you're learning to live with the death of your loved one, and I say, Tom, you know, I remember you telling me, don't forget about you, to stay in touch, and we're having a dinner with some friends from work. I want you to come out and, you know, come join us.
You know, Ade, are you talking about for on Thanksgiving, 2 weeks from today? You want me to commit to that right now? I can't. I don't know how I'm going to feel in 2 hours. So right now, I can't promise you, but I really appreciate the invitation, and if it's okay with you, I mean, if you could check with me, you know, the night before or that morning, you know, I could let you know one way or the other, because, you know, if I'm up for it, there's no place that I'd rather be than with you guys. But I can't promise you right now.
Well, I appreciate that honest conversation, the response, because I was thinking that maybe in my head, as you were talking, and you said 2 weeks from now, it's too far that I was thinking I'll call you tomorrow and the day after, but thank you for letting me know about calling you the night before or the morning, because that helps me to be at peace.
Want you to call me tomorrow, because I'm going to be really lonely still tomorrow. So I still want you to call me tomorrow. But I need you to be okay in the event that I don't return your phone call, because it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me and my ability to connect with you tomorrow. But I don't want you to give up on me.
I understand that. Woo! Yeah. Wow, that was something.
Yeah, you know what? Now, you know what? I got to jump in here, because there's something really, really powerful. At the top of our conversation, I almost used the word dance. You are absolutely right. It's such a beautiful, beautiful visual. And if I may, it's a slow dance. I mean, imagine, you know, when you're a high school senior and that song comes on and you have that slow dance with the girlfriend or the boyfriend that you absolutely are in love with, that's the type of dance that we're doing. It's slow and it's supportive and we're in tune with each other's moves. I mean, that's healing.
It's interesting, because doing that with you, actually, I was so present to the word that I was saying. That in a sense almost made me uncomfortable, because now I'm thinking, okay, I'm hosting a show, but it's like, no, stay present, listen to what he's saying. And as you were talking, I was thinking, okay, he's saying 2 weeks from now. Okay, but that was not what I would normally do as Ade. If I have a friend going through this, I would just call them the next day and invite them, since they told me 2 weeks down the line they don't know what they're doing. So when you said, well, why don't you call me in the day, the night before the morning, there's no other place I'd rather be. And then telling me, that, no, still call me tomorrow,
for me, as I am, I'm not just talking as a radio host, that helps me to know how to move and do the dance with you. And it requires a sort of openness, don't you think?
It does, it does. And, I mean, I'm being pretty presumptuous here, but that's the way I am because for whatever reasons, I've done it three times. And my hunch is most people in the throes of it, they're not going to say, you know, Ade, please call me every single day. They're not going to say that. But from the experience that I've lived through, we are abandoned quickly. And if someone had made an effort to reach out to me every single day, and you know what, in all honesty, a couple people did, I appreciated that. I more than appreciated it, to be honest with you. It was a lifeline.
Yes. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back here listening to Ask Life Coach Ade. Today we're talking about tips. We're sharing, Tom is sharing tips and talking from experience, you know, things we can do to support people, anyone dealing with the death of a loved one, especially during this holiday season. Number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Press 1 now. When we come back, we're going to take
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
When I was young, I knew something was wrong. My mother would forget to pick me up from school.
Drugs and alcohol may make you forget your problems.
My mother got help, and because of recovery, she is here for me.
Hi, Mom. You ready? Let's go.
For drug and alcohol treatment for you or someone you love, call 1-800-662-HELP. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Yes, indeed. We are back, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. And we're going to get through this 10 tips. We're going to beat time because we can. Let's take a call. Oh, Betty, my co-producer, wants to add and share something. How are you doing, Betty?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me fine?
I can.
You know, I want to say I'm listening to the show and I am so appreciative of it. It's definitely a show that I will not only tell people to listen to, but send to people that I know who are going through a grieving process. I actually know several people who I had asked to listen to the show, but they felt that the day was just too painful for them to even listen to the show. So I'm going to call in and talk. But as he was talking, it made me think about when my mother died. I was at work when I got a call that my mother had passed away. And I can remember after getting the call, the chef, because I was a chef at the time, the executive chef came to me and said, "Do you want to go home?" And I remember telling him, "No, I don't want to, because it helps me to keep moving, to keep just moving around." Now, you know, I don't know if he thought that meant don't talk to me, but the whole place avoided me like a plague. Everyone knew my mother had died. because I can hear the whispering, oh, her mother just died. Oh, she she's still working. Why is she still working? And I can hear this. I don't know why they thought I couldn't. But no one came over and said, is there anything you need us to do? Are you going to be okay? Or anything. It was, if she's working, let's just stay away from her. And up until this day, no one had ever called or came by the house or anything. Even the days after coming back to work, after taking a couple of days off, no one ever brought the topic back up, as if it never existed.
And Betty, in the United States, that is the universal experience. There's nothing uncommon about what you just described, if you can believe that. And that's why I say it is basically innocent and it is totally ignorant. The way that I describe it is as soon as someone that we love dies, we go unconscious, but everyone around us goes unconscious as well. And we all jump on what I call the grief train. And this grief train, it's a creation of our collective unconscious in the U.S. And it is destructive and it is painful and it does not promote or allow healing. And one of the intentions that I've set is to revolutionize the way that we do grief in the United States. There's a better way. There's a healthier way.
Yes, but that's why I wanted to share. I mean, I just think this show is so important. It's truly helping me as a reader. I do get a lot of people who are grieving, but what I try to do is help them to see that their loved one is only dead by a body, not by spirit, and they're only a thought away. They're only a feel away if they could, you know, put some of that sadness to the side and see how through death a lot of us actually find our purpose through death, through
and what amazes me is, I mean, we live in a country where the vast majority of our people call themselves Christians, you know, claim to be Christians. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the tenets of Christianity is that the essence of who we are is eternal and it lives on. So for me to say that I have a very healthy, active, ongoing relationship with my daughter, with my wife, and with my son, that's not out of the norm. You know, that's what the majority of us believe. But it's like when push comes to shove, we forgot that.
Yes,
so true.
Yes.
So
well,
true.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Definitely.
You're welcome.
One of the shows that I'm going to gift wrap and give it to anyone that I know going through a grieving process.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
It's to use as well as, you know, recommend your site and everything. I think it's just so important. It's
thank
something
you.
We all experience and will continue to experience until we transition over. So
it's
just
part,
important.
It's part of the human condition.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Betty. Well, sometimes I think I get a whisper from the spirit of what's about to happen, and then my intellectual mind kicks in, and I'm thinking, we're going to get through this tips. I don't care what happens. Well, we'll see what happens. Maybe surrender, but we got another call. Let's take a call from Celeste. Hey, Celeste.
Okay, let's surrender. I mean, there's so much here, and I'd prefer not to rush it.
That's right, exactly. Where I release and let go and let God do what God wants to do through us. Let's go to Celeste. How are you doing, Celeste?
Hello, I wanted to join the slow dance.
Yay!
Yeah, so beautiful. And I love Betty's comments. Beautiful sister. But I have to say, Tom, I want to thank you because I often talk on this show, and I won't take long, but I often talk on this show about my best friend, my my baby sister, who is actually a gift of my grief. I met her when my mother transitioned. And there was this one moment, oh, man, if I had this moment in 2006 this happened, it really would have helped me. So for anybody who's tapping in right now, listen very deeply to this show because I walked it. I know what Tom and Day are talking about. And what I did uncharacteristically to my best friend is that she wanted to pick me out on my birthday. They were planning a surprise party for me because surely I could handle it. And I wasn't ready for a surprise birthday party. And my partner at the time was planning it. And though I said very deeply, look, I just want a quiet night with my family, and that was big for me because usually on my birthday I just would stay in bed because I missed my mother so deeply. And, well, I wasn't heard in that moment. And so all of these festivities were happening around me, people just showing up, and I yelled at my baby sister. I mean, it was primal, it was raw, it was a lioness roar. And I screamed, no. And the hurt in her eyes, I will never forget that as long as I live. But you've given me a gift of forgiveness today because, you know, I didn't even realize I was holding that.
Oh, and I mean, Celeste, will you have mercy on yourself?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Thank you. And I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much, guys. I really love you and appreciate you for today's show. I hope my sister taps in on the archive.
I'm sure you'll make sure of that.
Yeah, send it to her. Send it to her.
Oh, you know it. You know what? I'm the gift giver. I do
that.
What's
your sister's name? What's your sister's name?
Lori, a.k.a. Baby Sis.
Okay.
Lori.
All right.
Hey, Lori, how are you doing? We know you're listening right now, so you're listening. If you weren't listening, you won't hear this. Go, because you're listening, we love you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Celeste. We're going to take another call. But before we take that call, I want to talk about what Celeste just brought up there.
Right. Yeah.
It's this thing called life, because, you know, there are people who said, you know, I really didn't want to go. I really didn't want to hang out with anybody, but I'm glad you kept pushing me to go. You know, and how do we navigate that? Where we may have had experience with people saying, I'm glad you pushed. I'm glad you didn't back down. And then somebody else would say, you pissed me off. I told you I didn't want to do anything. How do we find the balance in that? It's so delicate.
I think it boils down to, for me anyway, how well do I know the person that I'm interacting with,
mm-hmm.
and how well do I know myself? I will say that I think most of us completely abandon ourselves time and time and time again. And we acquiesce. I mean, I applaud Celeste because in that moment, she did not abandon herself. I mean, she mm-hmm. spoke her truth when she screamed out at her sister. Now, you know, from the chair that I'm sitting in, yeah, who knows really what her sister's intentions and motivation was, but some of it clearly was love. I mean, it was absolutely mm-hmm. love. She was trying to love Celeste. You know, maybe she was trying to control her a little bit, and maybe she was trying to say, I know what's best for you on your birthday. But that's, you know, I would just chalk that up as being innocent and ignorant. But it was rooted in love. So it's just a perfect example of, you know, that the slow dance. So to get back to what you were saying, if I know a person really, really well, if it's a really, really good friend of mine and they say, Tom, I do not want to go out for dinner tonight. It just doesn't feel right. I'm going to honor that. Absolutely, absolutely honor that. If I have a history when it's clear, I mean, they usually don't know what they want. And their initial response is, no, I don't want to go. And, you know, the last 10 times they've said that, they have gone, and they always say, what a great time. I'm glad you made me go.
Right.
Then I might push
right.
a little bit more. But it definitely is a dance.
Mm.
And you know what? If I pushed when I shouldn't have pushed, and it doesn't turn out, you know, quote, perfectly, although there's no such thing, then let's talk about it and learn from it and create a plan so when it comes up again, we'll try that plan.
Right. Let's not be caught up in doing it right or avoiding to be wrong, but just being present and remember that the dance is slow. It's a slow dance.
And I think that if we are really, really clear on the intention that we're setting, I'm making this decision based on my love for you. I mean, it'd be great if we said that, but we don't have to say that. But if we're clear on what that intention is, that it's rooted in love, you know, not control or manipulation or arrogance, how are we going to go wrong?
Right. That's a good point. What's your intention? That's it. My intention right now is to take this next call. Let's go. Tamara is the one who married Tom and I. Yes, I said
yeah, no, I married me first. We're all married. Love you guys. Wow, I love this conversation. And I, my first comment is, well, I guess we'll just have to have Tom come like 5 more times to go through all the steps. So that's my vote. I also noticed just from my life experience that death is one thing and then illness is another thing that people will avoid you like crazy and forget about you really easily. And I had many years where I was extremely sick and I would ask friends for help. I would ask, could you bring me food? Could you help me with the house? And one person was like, oh, I can't even keep my house clean. And it was just like, you know, that kind of thing. And I lived with it for a long, long time. And I wrote a letter at one point, and I said, and I really worked on it so it was as clean as could be, and said, here's what's happening with me. You know, I'd like to have connection with my friends. And I gave them a list. I said, you know, you could bring me a meal. You could come just sit with me and watch a movie. You could just call me once in a while and talk for 10 minutes. You know, I gave them, like, options from really, really simple to would you clean my house? You know, not my whole house, but would you help me clean a little bit? And I was really surprised at the you know, kind of like you're saying, Tom, there might have been one or two people who responded, and that was it. And my feeling is you know, with death, they don't want you to feel sad, but again, I feel, for me, it seemed as if people were like, okay, she's sick, that means I'm in a body, that means I could get sick, and I don't want to think about that, so I will avoid her. That was my theory. My emotions were, I just felt really hurt and really isolated, and I couldn't get out very much. And so I think it's just interesting, and I just wonder what human beings, and is this, Tom, do you think this is part of the whole societal thing as well?
Hi, Tamara.
Hi.
and I really want to put this out there that everybody has gurus in their life, and I have been blessed to have some of the best. And in all sincerity, a guru that I had the great, great fortune to meet on a beautiful day in the East Bay of Northern California is Tamara. Tamara is one of my gurus. She has taught me so much.
I love and appreciate you.
That.
You too, honey.
And I
met Tom. He had already lost 2 family members, and the day I met him, we were driving to a retreat together, never met him before. I look down the driveway, and here's this man skipping down the driveway towards me. And I was like, oh, I like this guy.
But to your question, I know the type of friend I aspire to be. And when someone says, I need your help, and these are some very specific ways you could help me, would you be willing to do that? I would like to believe that 90% of the time I would say yes. You know, I will help you. So I remember when that happened to you. And number one, I think it requires such guts and the ability to present yourself as being so vulnerable and so open to rejection. So, you know, I applauded you at the time for doing it. And it astounds me and it amazes me that the response was to you what it was. And I do think that that's very, very, very common.
Yeah.
And I don't really understand it. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, and
but my hunch is,
yeah,
is that, like, I know if I have one son who's left, Sean, and if Sean dies, and if I send out a request for help like you did, I would bet that the people on my list who have experienced an intimate death of their own, they will respond.
Right.
They will respond. And the other people will just discard it. So it'd be interesting to go back to your list and if there were any of folks on that list who had been living with their own illness or, you know, their own really, really serious, quote, tragedy, if those were the ones that responded.
Right.
You know, it's like, are we that simple-minded that until it smacks us right in the head, we're not awake to how we can help another human being? I don't make perhaps.
Yeah.
I actually think there's a part of a lack of disconnection. We're disconnected from ourselves. The society that we live in doesn't talk about connection. It's almost like the statement, self-made millionaire. You don't need anybody. Even in the spiritual community, it's all about you. It is all about you, but there's an interdependency that we always have to highlight as well. And I think people respond based on how connected they are to themselves. If they're disconnected, if their lives is all about work and hanging out, whatever it is, it is more about the external things that are more important and is less about themselves, what is real, what does it mean to be human. Earlier you said, Tom, that people are not that deep. If we all, you know, our religion, the main religions don't talk about connectedness. You know, it's really a disconnect. Main religions talk about disconnection, a God outside of ourselves, the supreme being that we have to please. So, and then people want to do what's best because they don't want to be fried all for the rest of their lives. They want to be blessed. So they're trying to please this God and say, I really come and help you, but I got to get my life right because I think my time is going to get counting down. But a new way of looking at it, saying, listen, right here, right now, I mean, what better if you really want a ticket to get to heaven? How about creating heaven for somebody else on this earth? And so for me, I think especially in the Western world, we tend to intellectualize a lot of things. We intellectualize grief, and we say, well, it's been too long now. You know, things we don't understand, we want to medicate it. But we're moving, slowly moving to a place where we're learning about connection. What does it mean to be human? How am I feeling? You know, how somebody else feeling? How can I add to what you're doing? How can I add value to your life? You know, how can I be of service rather than how can I get mine? How can I get mine? Everybody else is getting theirs. I think there's a lack of disconnection from self.
And I think that people think service, oh, my gosh, I have to give something and I'm not going to get something. Because during that time, I think at one point we had a birthday party for Dave. And we had food, and we were playing guitar, and we were singing, and a whole bunch of those people showed up who didn't have time to help when they were. And I thought, wait, what? So I kind of notice that, that it's like, oh, you want to get something, but, you know, giving just feels like, I don't think so.
Okay, I got to jump in here. And that's why I coined the phrase that I consider them the ignorant innocents. And I will add, without taking a breath, that in many situations, I wouldn't be surprised if I am the ignorant innocent as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to get to what Ade said, that yes, and if anyone's listening to this, if you take away nothing else, see if this resonates with you, that we, not all of us, but a good percentage of us, we want to get to heaven. And what no one ever said to us, no one ever shared this secret, that if I was fortunate enough to get the list from Tamara, and if I looked down the list and said, I could do number 3, yes, I'm busy, yes, I'm raising 3 children, yes, we have no money, yes, there's no gas in the car, but I'm going to do number 3. In the act of doing number 3 for Tamara, that is heaven. That is how I was just going to say that's how I get to heaven, but I don't want anyone to misunderstand that. That's how I create heaven for me in this moment. So we're all searching for something, and no one's ever said it's in being of service to yourself and another human being. That's where heaven is. That's where we find heaven. It's right in front of our face.
So true. Thank you, Tamara. I appreciate
thank you. That's
your
beautiful.
Contribution, and thank you for connecting me with Tom. And so, don't worry, Tom will be back again and again and again and again and again. You get it? Okay.
Yes.
So hopefully we have some time, but I want to I've jumped down. I want to go to number 6. If we can cover 6, 8, and 9, that would be really good, because I think those are very important points. I mean, all of them are important, but this is things that we don't always do. Do you want to do number 6?
I do. And I want you to be me for a second here. My 18-month-old daughter, she's dead. Okay, she's dead. My 43-year-old wife, she's dead. She's been dead for 11 years. And my most amazing, most beloved, the person I loved most in the entire universe, my son Rory, he died at 13. He's been dead since 2005. So there will be no more pictures taken of these people. There will be no more videos taken of these people. But I have a huge family, huge. I have 7 brothers and sisters. My parents are still alive. My wife's family, there were she was one of 6 girls. We have extended family. I have friends. If someone, and it's happened to me, if someone would be willing to go through their photographs and go through their video and find a new picture of Rory, or a new picture of Trish, or, can you imagine? I mean, videotape of them, where I could see them move and I could hear their voice. What they're giving me is another piece of a puzzle that has a finite number of pieces. They're giving me a gift that words cannot describe. So that's something very, very tangible. I mean, talk about a gift of love. I mean, that's incredible.
I want to say something about that, too, that you have in the text that you shared with us.
Yes.
In number 6, you said,
right,
make certain that photos and videos are clearly labeled. And when I read that is so important. Rather than them being surprised, not knowing what it is, I think when we label in, you know, at the park with the children, or, you know, something like that, it prepares you for what you're about.
And the truth of the matter is that there are people listening, and there are family members and friends of yours who, since the person they love died, They've never looked at one photo. They cannot bring themselves to look at the videos. Why? They would tell you it's too painful. And I would add, for whatever reasons, they're afraid. They're unable. They're not ready. I think it's fear. They're afraid to move into that pain. So, yes, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you brought that up. If you just put a picture of a spouse in a card and that person opened up the card and the picture fell out, I mean, they could have a heart attack. Yeah, I mean, it's important that we prepare the person, let them know what the gift is, and if they want to look at it now, great. If they want to look at it in 10 years, fine.
Yes, yes. And let's jump to number 8. Expect crying. I want you to talk about this. It's okay and healthy. You can cry too. Crying helps people heal. Crying together helps people heal faster. In this society, generally, this is what I'm adding to it. I see when people are being interviewed about the death of their loved ones or something happened, people start talking about how much they love them, and then they start crying, and then they say, I'm sorry. You know, for me, I'm like, why are you apologizing for tears? And I think we're getting better creating a space for people to express their emotions. So talk more about that. Expect crying, and crying helps people heal. Crying together helps people heal faster.
Okay. On the whole, I think we have created a society that is partially insane. I mean, I agree with you. Why do I have to explain that the death of someone that you love warrants crying? You deserve to cry because someone that you love died. We don't have to apologize for that. Why are we apologizing for it? An appropriate response when someone dies is to cry, and to cry, and to cry, and to cry. And the truth of the matter is that fresh grief, new grief, it unearths and it triggers all the unresolved grief that's stored in our body. So to an outsider, it might, or even to you, it might look like the only thing you're crying about is the fact that your wife just died. But the truth of the matter is that's a trigger and that's a door that you're going through that allows you to cry about everything that you've never cried about. Crying is the most healing, empowering, refreshing, natural, loving thing you can do for yourself. And there is nothing. Let me tell you this very quickly. I remember my daughter Erin died very suddenly and very unexpectedly. And I walked into the ICU, the intensive care unit, and I saw my wife holding my daughter's dead body, and I saw the doctor and the nurses. They were just right there, and they were sobbing. And I thought they understand what happened. They get what happened. I was comforted by their tears. So for me, and I think for a lot of people, there's nothing like being able to cry in the company of other people because it says, I understand what happened.
Right. And so one thing that gets my back up is even that statement, stop crying, it's okay, there's no need to cry. I think we don't need to tell it, and not children, not adults, because they're crying, clearly something in them has been triggered. So telling people, don't cry, it's okay, no need to cry, I just think it's just flat out wrong. I'm just going to stand in that until someone tells me another way.
And this is a tough one for people to grasp, but what we do is when someone cries, we grab a box of Kleenex and we thrust it in front of them, and we have been conditioned to believe that that's a really loving, kind, caring thing to do. But what we're really doing is we are subtly or not so subtly telling them to stop crying. Mm-hmm. so many people have a hard time even getting to the point where they're able to cry, and they're kind of in the flow of it, and the crying takes over. And if they get to a point, you know, where their nose is running, and they're, you know, that's good. They're releasing. But as soon as we thrust the Kleenex in front of them, mm-hmm. their attention shifts, and it goes away from what's happening and goes to the Kleenex, and we break the cycle. And we think that that's a good thing. We've done them a disservice. It's the very same thing. If we pat them on the shoulder, or if we immediately mm-hmm. go up to them and hug them, allow them to cry. Get it out.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a tough one for me. I mean, and I say tough one, not tough one to do. So I know I've done that, because I encourage people to share their tears. But like you said, when it's not a set coming, I'm like, oh, it's time to get some Kleenex. But that's a really tricky one. So would you suggest that we wait for them to say, can I have some tissue, please? Or you just,
it depends on the situation. In a formal setting, when I'm facilitating a group, I say, there's a box of Kleenex in the middle of the room. You know, I explained to them what I just said, and I said, I trust that you will take care of yourself. And mm-hmm. and when you need to get a Kleenex, get one. All right, mm-hmm. if it's an informal setting, I would wait. I think I would wait. I would stand and hold the space and let the person who's crying know that I am right there with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be with them. And sooner or later, they will say, could you get me a Kleenex? And when they say that, mm-hmm. I'd say, sure, I'll get it. But I would physically, emotionally, spiritually, lovingly try to accompany them while they're crying and be right there with them.
Right, right. Hmm. Ooh, thank you for that. Okay, let's go to number 9. Can you read that?
Oh, yeah. And again, you know, it goes back to that ignorant innocent. Number 9, Don't work too hard on trying to cheer up your friend. It's okay to be sad. Someone they love has died. Do spend time with him or her. Let them talk. Now, this is the really important part. You listen. Yeah. Let them talk. You listen. And silence is okay, too. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than two people, you know, walking on a beach or walking on a path, and no one's saying anything. You know, they're in the presence of all of it. They're taking it all in. It's okay to be sad. When people die, an appropriate response is to be sad. And when we work really, really, really hard to cheer them up, We're not honoring and allowing them to be exactly where they are.
Right. So it's really about creating the space where they are and honoring where they are.
As opposed to saying, where you are isn't okay. You know, I mm-hmm. know what's best for you. I think you should be happy.
And they were like, I think you should flip off. Get out of my face. Get out of here now. I mean, but you know, it's this human, this experience is a delicate one, and I feel like we'd never master it. It's a slow dance. That's the key word. It's very slow. We do with our children, we do with our loved ones, but when it comes to the death of a loved one, it's just, or people, just period. It's, you know, as Betty was sharing at the beginning of the show, when she called in, that work, being able to hold the space and be willing to be vulnerable with somebody who's already vulnerable. And there's a lot more to talk about. There's a lot more to share. And as I said earlier, we skipped some of the tips. You can go to Life Conversations Radio fan page. It's all on there. And also you can go to Tom's website. There's a lot of information on their resources, tomzuba.com. He's a grief guide, author, international inspirational speaker. Wait a minute.
I like international. Let's go. Let's say that again.
International speaker. That's right.
That's like Global Transformational Guide. So, yes, he's the man. And, yes, check out his website. He also has a fan page. What's the name of your fan page? Is it your name?
It's Tom Zuba and then the number one. Or you could just put in Tom Zuba author and it'll come up.
Right, okay, cool. And I like how you have different shirts now. You have one in red and one in green. Before, I wasn't sure which one was what. So
exactly.
You changed that, and I'm glad you did. It's like, okay, is this a fan page? But when you go on Facebook, you know what we're talking about. We are getting ready to release the show. Tom, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you do, who you are, for showing up, and for using your experience to transform other people. We know you're going to be back real soon because this is a conversation that's ongoing. Someone is dying right now as we speak, and somebody's saying, well, I don't know what to say to her. I don't know what to say to them. I don't know. What can I say their name? So we're going to bring you back, as I said earlier, over and over and over till we can say, yeah, we get it, you know. So thank you for who you are, my brother. I am so grateful we're connected, and thank you, Tamara, for connecting me with Tom. Anything else you want to add, Tom, before you move on to your next assignment, your next play?
You know, there's a quote, I'm not sure who it's by, that if we only say one prayer, thank you is all that's necessary. So from the deepest, deepest, deepest place of my being, I say thank you to you as well.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Woo! Life is good. It's getting better. I want to play some quick jingles, and then I want to play something from Abraham, putting death in proper perspective. Woo! Let's see. Anything else that we need to do? Betty, if you're talking to me in the chat room, I can't see it. You know why. It's one of those things, but we keep it moving. We don't need a computer to do the show because we can do the show without the computer because the computer is just icing on the cake. We are the cake, and I'm having my cake, and I'm eating it. Stop it. Anyway, ooh-wee, life is good. Thursday, so we'll be back on Monday with Lynn Howell. She's going to be talking about Akashic Records. And make sure you join us. All the shows are archived and they can be downloaded. Just put it on your iPod or whatever, iPhone, iSmart, whatever. Just download it and listen to the show over again. And as Betty said, you know, share with some of your friends who may be going through challenges. And if they're not ready to listen, don't push, don't force it. Don't tell them, you really need to listen to this. If they say, no, not right now, honor that. We love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. And just remember, everything we do here is to support you in really moving to where you want to be. Now, that doesn't mean you discredit or don't honor where you are, but being where you are, embracing what is, while you lovingly anticipate what's yet to come. We will see you tomorrow. Make sure you check out lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. And in a minute, you're going to hear Abraham talking about death, putting it into proper perspective.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Yes, indeed. Thank you all for listening, for tuning in regularly, for sharing the show. And Abraham is next to find out more about Jester. Jester. Yeah, that's what you get when you add Jerry and Esther together. You get Jester Hicks. Yeah, to find out more about Jester Hicks. Ooh, I'm so glad I can crack myself up. Yeah, to find out more about Jester Hicks, you can go to abraham-hicks.com. Abraham-H-I-C-K-S. To find out more about Jerry and Esther. Here's Abraham, the non-physical being, saying, listen, death is so beautiful, it's so delicious.
Okay,
embrace
a different question, which is, in a tape about 2 or 3 years ago, you said two people came forth together with the agreement that one, we might die early, and for the purpose of them learning that there is no such thing as death.
It happens all the time. Some of you come forth intending very fast, brief, explosive, delicious experience. You cannot evaluate or judge the quality of a life by its length.
It's the, my question is, who is it that learns? That learns that information.
Well, that is always that experience in the case that we are talking about, and there are many such mm-hmm. cases. The benefit is to the physical humans that remain beyond, who now have born within them a stronger than ever desire to understand the relationship between the physical and the non-physical, because the one who makes the transition knew it and mm-hmm. knows it instantly. In other words, in that transition, in that which you call death, there is not such thing. We prefer to call it croaking. It is so disrespectful.
Yeah, right.
If when someone croaks or when someone makes their transition into non-physical, what happens is they reemerge instantly in the pure positive non-physical energy. And the benefit in the example that we were giving is that then often those who are remaining physical in their desire to maintain relationship with their dearly departed, often that gives birth to a desire that eventually leads them to an understanding that there is no separation between that which is physical and that which is non-physical. And that is always what that intention is about, to soften mm-hmm. that line. You see, as we talk to you here, mm-hmm. we refer to you as in your physical bodies, and we are expressing that you are non-physical energy expressing. In the beginning, because so many physical beings did not understand that they are extensions of non-physical energy, they think that there may be afterlife. They want to believe that, but very few really have any strong sense of what that is all about. And so we began to speak in terms of the physical you and the non-physical you, wanting to sort of get your attention to begin to look at yourself through different eyes than you were accustomed to seeing yourself. Most physical beings do not fully understand what we mean when we say you are non-physical energy expressing through this body. You are eternal beings. Ah, eternal beings. It's hard to get your thoughts around a word or a feeling like that, isn't it? You think about it. You are eternal beings, which means you are forever and ever. There must be way more before you than there could ever be behind you. We are all eternal beings, you see. Mm-hmm. But in your physical environment where there is this decided birth and death, what that gives you is a platform or a focal point. What the earth experience is a framework where more perceivers are at the same time perceiving similarly. In other words, you have your physical senses, so you've come to a similar conclusion, which gives you a platform to leap from. And so when someone who is in your midst, even though every one of you know without exception that you're all going to make that transition, still you are not understanding what it is. You do not understand in the eternalness of it that it is not different from walking out of this room and into the next.
Mm-hmm.
In the eternalness of it, there is not a lapse in consciousness. In other words, you continue to be that which you are. The death thing is an uncomfortable subject for so many of you. Think almost as soon as you are born, they begin warning you about it. Watch mm-hmm. out, that could kill you. Watch mm-hmm. out, that could kill you. And when they say it, you can tell they really mean it, and what they mean can't be good. And so right away, you start tensing against it. What do you do as a society? When you find some rascal that you deem really, really, really horrible, you give him the death penalty. In other words, you do not give him the reward of death. If physical humans understood death, you would not give it to them. Really, you do everything you could to keep them alive as long as possible. And so what we meant when we say that sometimes you come forth with the intention of having an emphatic experience and an early reemergence in the non-physical, it is almost always because there is some former agreement to put this death thing in proper perspective. And very often when somebody old who's lived a long life, who got really ornery, who practiced all kinds of resistance, who's pretty well pinched off well-being, sort of limping around and not having a very good experience, when they die, when they croak, you say, well, it was for the best. Because it's a better alternative than living. And mm-hmm. for the most part, that's the way you approach death. In other words, you do not welcome death as you welcome any new adventure. Instead, you dread it, dread it, dread it, dread it. And that's why so many of you bring yourself into states of enormous decline before you will allow the death experience, because then you're choosing the lesser of what you consider to be two evils, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Where sometimes the non-physical energy says, let's go forth and put death into its clear perspective. And so when someone young and bright and in the prime of their life or very early in experience makes their transition, then with those that are left behind, there is it is a human perspective of I lost my loved one, or I've been left behind. From that vantage place of being left behind, sometimes a desire is born to understand or to make the connection, and very often that is the catalyst. Often in a gathering even such as this, as you talk to people afterward, they will say to you that the reason I began my deliberate search of understanding my relationship with God or my relationship with Source or my understanding of the non-physical was because someone that I cared very deeply about made their transition and my thoughts turned there.
Okay. Now what we learn then, as the person leaves, and you said it increases the desire on the part of the person left behind to learn this and to understand it.
To understand connection between
right.
two.
Then later, another rebirth incarnation starts off at this new higher level, and that's in a sense how we learn as a environment, a species.
Well, give us a little bit more. What do you mean by this new higher level? From what perspective?
That more people now understand the concept of there is no death. So then when a new person comes in or reincarnates, that is more of a ground of being from which knowledge is more disseminated throughout the world.
Well, here's the thing we want you to realize is that while everything is expanding and while certainly there is benefit for all from every experience that is lived, the non-physical energy already understands that. In other words, there is not one of you that will be separate from that reemergence into pure positive energy. And so it's not like you have to go through the death experience in order for the spirit to understand it. The spirit understood it. The spirit knows it. It is for the benefit of those who are still remaining physical to understand it so that they can be in a place of more allowing. In other words, it helps them to let more of it in. It isn't until you begin to no longer dread and push against death, you can't really live. In other words, you have to understand that well-being abounds. And once you understand that well-being abounds, then you will begin to allow the life experience in the fullest sense of the word, you see. We want to be clear that the reemergence back into the non-physical is a delicious, imagine in one fell swoop, leaving behind all doubt and fear and worry and blame and reemerging. And what we want you to understand is that spirit or that energy, that consciousness knew that. In other words, that's who you are as non-physical energies. You don't come forth into the physical to bang around to gain knowledge so that you can die and be a better angel. That is a distortion of what it is all about, you see. When we come back from segment of refreshment, we'll talk further about what this physical life experience really is about. You are complete for now?
Yes.
We are complete.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
Let me love.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.